Returning at 98.7 ESPN, Chris Carlin, joined by the great Adrian Wojnarowski. Of course, you know him from ESPN, breaking every story there is under the sun when it comes to the NBA. Woj, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Chris. How are you?
Doing terrific. Appreciate a few minutes. And, you know, first and foremost, out of what was a frenzied few days for the league, what were your biggest takeaways?
You know, it was frenzied, Chris. I think that, you know, what you're seeing, I think in this free agency, you're certainly not seeing deals of the gravity that are really going to dramatically change, I think, the balance of power in the league. I think the Lakers had a great free agency leading into it, the trade for Dennis Schroeder, and then into free agency. I think Portland really improved themselves, but not the, you know, what you saw last year where Kawhi Leonard changes teams and Paul George and more dramatic, but certainly some impactful players move. Chris Paul makes Phoenix better and some of those things. You're seeing a lot of teams really setting themselves up for next year's free agency. You're going to have more teams with cap space. You're going to have more teams perhaps willing to spend and wanting to spend based on revenues changing, and hopefully by then fans back in arenas and the full revenue streams at everyone's disposal. I think there was restraint in this period. You saw teams largely re-sign their own players, sign some of the younger players to the extensions that were obvious, Jason Tatum, Donovan Mitchell, Bam Adebayo today, and of course, Brandon Ingram. I wouldn't say there were any big surprises, but if you're trying to win a championship in the NBA this season, you look at the Lakers and you think they might have gotten better.
Hard to even imagine that that's the case, but it truly is. And, you know what we care about around here, Woj, and that's what's going on with the Knicks. So what exactly did you take away from the last few days with the Knicks and Leon Rose and his first little foray here into free agency?
I think, Chris, that they were, you know, certainly restrained, again, not able really to do anything impactful. They would have liked Gordon Hayward. And again, that was a significant move, him leaving Boston, going to Charlotte. But, you know, I think for the Knicks, they were able to gather up some picks, take on some money from teams using their cap space. You know, they were pleased with their draft. They targeted a couple players and got them at two different points in the draft, starting with Obi Toppin up in the lottery. But, you know, they're going to try to be patient this year. They're not going to be very good. In fact, they're not going to be any good at all. And I think they're trying to set themselves up for next year to be back in the marketplace through trade, free agency, and developing draft. They've got to draft well and then developing these young guys.
How do you see this playing out, Woj? I mean, where is the balance for them right now between getting better and waiting that long haul and being patient versus getting that player here that will start to attract others to want to come here?
Chris, I just don't think you can do that quickly in this league. I think you have to show, and Knicks fans probably don't want to hear it because it's been one regime after another who's been tasked with doing this and then has not been able to do it, except for the drafting of Chris Epps Porzingis, and they traded him. I think that you have to have set a foundation and a credibility with agents and players to see that you have a leadership structure that works and that can put together a good team and run a good organization. And they're starting over in that respect again with Leon Rose and William Wesley and Tom Thibodeau. You've got to show, I think it's something you have to kind of prove every day in the league and how you do business with people. And so I don't know that, like, next summer when they're coming off of another losing season, all of a sudden a big free agent says, I'm going to New York. I don't know that it happens that way, but I think you do it incrementally. And it starts with, in this draft, showing you drafted some good players, showing development with the rest of the roster. And then typically what this league has shown you is to get stars, you have to develop a core of good role players, and stars want to play with guys who do the dirty work, and you've got to have guys and complementary pieces. You know, I thought Brooklyn had done a really good job of that over time in building up complementary pieces through lots of different avenues. I mean, Spencer Dinwiddie and Joe Harris literally came off the scrap heap in the NBA and developed into really good players. And Caris LeVert, 20th pick in the draft, becomes a really good player. And then it makes it easier for the Kevin Durant, the Kyrie Irving to say, okay, they show they know how to run an organization. They've got role players in place. And now you plug us into it. Now we've really got something. So I think all of those things have to happen. You don't see just a player saying, yeah, I might want to play in New York and the Garden's appealing, but I'm not going to just be dropped into the middle of that and take on all the losing that comes till we figure out who the next guy is. So I think, though, what the Knicks are trying to do is gather up picks and assets. And so the next big player who might be available in a trade, the next guy who might want out of somewhere, that if it makes sense and he's on a younger player, maybe it makes sense to get involved in that kind of a situation. I think that's something they'd like to do because you can do it via trade. It's harder to do it via free agency, at least near the start of a new regime.
Well, with that in mind, I mean, that brings to mind Russell Westbrook. So is it not the right fit for the Knicks, a guy like Westbrook at 32 years old at this juncture of his career, when even he knows about this reputation that he's gotten about guys maybe not necessarily wanting to play with him?
Yeah, I think it's less that, Chris. I do think guys like playing with, for the most part, no one's 100% in terms of in that department. But I think Russell Westbrook is underestimated as the kind of teammate he is, how loyal he is to the guys around him. I think guys love playing with him. And, you know, over time, different relationships change and all that. I think it's more the age, the knee injuries he's had. Doesn't shoot it as well. And when you lose a little bit of your athleticism, that can make it harder for you to find ways to score. I just don't know that Russ fits the Knicks timeline for where they are right now, and bringing him in 3 years at over $40 million a year. My sense is it just doesn't fit their timeline. I think when they try to bring in stars, they try to bring in someone younger. They could have gone and gotten involved with Chris Paul. They didn't do it. I think the Phoenix fits really good for Chris Paul because he takes that team and potentially puts it in the playoffs. Chris Paul coming to New York doesn't put the Knicks in the Eastern Conference playoffs. As great as he is, they don't have enough around them. And I think for them, you know, I think they're a year away from trying to do some big things. But they tried to get in there with Gordon Hayward, and he's 30, I think, and didn't get him. But that with their cap space, that would make a little more sense for him.
Woj with us, 98.7 ESPN. You know, when you look at that grand scheme, you were talking about the equity that has to be built up with the relationships for Leon, for Wes. Because they are who they are, will they get a little bit more leniency in that agent community, in that basketball community, than maybe others would when they're new in management positions?
Well, there's two ways to look at that, because typically agents who become GMs, they competed against all the other agents. Mm-hmm. So there aren't a lot of, they're not necessarily close with them all, but I think Leon had good relationships with everybody. Leon was not considered a polarizing figure in that world. So I don't think it's a negative, but I also don't know that it helps you with the other agents. I think New York, if run well and people think it's a good place for their players, of course they want their players in New York or L.A. or Chicago, because those big markets offer more opportunities for exposure, for endorsements, all of those things. I think, though, you look at what now the relationships they have with players who they represented. Now, that's different, and I think that can be an advantage. Most of them are, you know, we know who they all are. A lot of them are under long-term contracts in places. I do think there's an edge there, but I don't know that anybody – this isn't college recruiting, and you're not just picking the head coach or the executive. I think that's a factor, and I think as a player you'd go, hey, I have a relationship with Leon or Wes. I know him, but I don't know that you just go there because of that. I think you go there if you see things in place. You want to win, and if you see an opportunity to go to New York and that there are pieces in place or a plan that you believe in that's going to allow that to happen maybe simultaneously with you coming, yes. But I don't think it's just, hey, we're close, I'm going to go to the Knicks. when they're not very good, and I'm not sure if any of those young players can really play yet. I guess what I'm saying is people should understand this doesn't typically happen overnight. The problems the Knicks have weren't made overnight, and I think it takes time to dig yourself out of the mess and all the bad karma there is around the organization and what's gone on there over recent history and longer than recent history. And I just think, I know people don't want to hear it, but like with a new group coming in, it just takes time. I don't imagine, like, I don't think there's some savior on the way in 2021 free agency, but I think they could get some, you know, they should be able to get involved with some good free agents, maybe not the great ones. And sometimes it takes getting the good ones to start setting a foundation, and then that allows you to go after the great ones after. And so they got to start with drafting well, developing the guys they have, coaching them, being competitive in the Garden, making it an environment. It hasn't been an environment in a long time. And since Porzingis was healthy and playing, but we're not going to have fans. Well, I don't know when we'll have fans this year. It may not be till next year that you can, you know, you want the place to start feeling again like this is a place to be.
Woj, where do we stand here with Harden and the Nets? Is that a dead deal at this point, or is it just waiting, Sean Marks waiting for Houston to blink?
Well, they had a couple initial, they had some contact initially, Chris, no real substantive discussions. And as far as I know, they haven't reconnected on it. I think Houston's thought right now is to try to hold on to Harden, perhaps start the season with him if a deal doesn't come that makes sense to them. And, I mean, they would want a massive haul back for him and see if they can just get him back on board a little bit. I do think Westbrook is more of a priority for them to try to move and see if that, if whoever they might bring back, does that change how Harden looks at Houston? They don't want to trade him. They know they really can't get value on him, and they want to figure out a way to keep him there.
With that in mind, I mean, you looked at what they potentially would be giving up. Basically, everything you just described as to what the Nets have developed over the last 4 or 5 years, and then a ton of picks. And I might argue they've got a better chance to win a championship with what they have now than bringing in Harden into three superstars and guys who, you know, you don't necessarily know that that's going to work out with what the reputations there are.
Yeah, the Nets are in a position where they have to do something really risky. And take, like, that doesn't mean you don't look at the trade and there's not an offer to be made. But the idea that you're going to give up picks and pick swaps the way they did in the Celtic trade and give away everything, they don't have to do that. They don't have to behave that way. They have a group of players. They can wait and see who else becomes available down the line, or they can keep trying to go. Caris LeVert's very good. And Joe Harris is, you know, they just re-signed Joe Harris. And we'll see what Spencer Dinwiddie's future looks like there. But they don't have to go out and give up everything and compromise themselves over a long period of time to chase Harden. They don't have to. And I think especially with the picks, I don't know that there's a great appetite to just hand over everything Houston might want. But I don't think talks have gotten there. And in fact, I don't think they have at all in terms of really digging into what it would take. I think Houston's going to be more patient than that. I'm not sure they see. I know Houston wants, if they were to do Harden, they would want a really, really, really good young player, an all-star level young player. And, you know, you could make the case, Caris LeVert's a borderline all-star player in the East. He's on a good contract. I think they imagine maybe something bigger, better than that. But who knows if that's available to him on the market. I think so for now, Houston wants to slow play this. Remember, James Harden has 2 years left on his deal before he could opt out. They don't have to just do something here before the start of the season.
Last one, Woj, and I know this is a strange one because you end up breaking every story as it is, but did anything really surprise you last week?
I guess surprises, none jumping out at me. I thought, you know, the Lakers being able to pick up Gasol, pick up Dennis Schroeder, was really helpful for them. And they were going to lose Rondo. They lose Dwight Howard. They upgraded on those two. I mean, Howard and Gasol are very different players. Gasol is much more of a skilled offensive player. Certainly Howard's a better rim protector and rebounder. But I just think the fact that the Lakers with limited resources in terms of exceptions and not having space, we're able to, again, do the Schroeder deal, get Gasol as a free agent, you know, in the middle. And, you know, I think those are, you know, those for them are moves that are really going to help.
Woj, can't thank you enough. I know it's a busy time. Have an awesome Thanksgiving. Really appreciate it.
You too, Chris. Have a great holiday.
Adrian Wojnarowski right here on 98.7 ESPN.